Welcome to a special edition of the Fastest 5 Minutes podcast, presented by Kroll and Mooring. Normally, your co-hosts, Peter Eyre and myself, bring you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts, legal and regulatory developments that we like to say no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. But this is not a bi-weekly presentation. In fact, we just did one last week. However, this has been a very busy week, and we felt that there was enough to cover that we're recording this special edition covering the events of the week of July 17th. In National Defense Authorization Act news, it's been very busy, both on the Senate Armed Services Committee side and in the House. We'll give you the updates on each side, but please keep in mind, and frankly, this is something I had to look up for a refresher just from basic civics, that even though there's a lot going on, all of this will eventually go into some sort of conference or reconciliation. We don't know what the final bill will look like, but we'll be watching very closely. The Senate Armed Services Committee accepted amendments to its version of the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, for fiscal year 2018, among notable developments. SASC included an amendment to Sections 830 and 831, echoing, get ready for it, the Obama-era Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces executive order. This time, should this pass, DOD contracting officers would be required to consider workplace safety and health violations when evaluating the responsibility of a prospective DOD contractor or awarding or renewing a contract valued at $1 million or more. SASC also included Section 938, which requires the Secretary of Defense to authorize the Director of the Defense Security Service to promptly increase personnel to manage the growing security clearance backlog and better manage the transition of clearance administration from OPM to DOD. SASC also included Section 821 and 822, aimed at reforming GAO bid protests under DOD contracts. Such reforms include, again, if this passes the final version, requiring large contractors with revenues in excess of $100 million to pay DOD and GAO for the costs incurred for processing a protest at GAO in the event that their bid protests are denied, and decreasing the time period from 100 to 65 days for GAO to decide protests except in complex cases, and to provide information in debriefings held after awards are made. In addition, Section 821 would require the withholding of profits of a company that wins a bridge contractor extension after protesting the recompetition of work where it is the incumbent. The company would receive those profits if the solicitation is canceled and no follow-on solicitation is issued, or if any part of the incumbent's protest is upheld, but otherwise the payments exceeding incurred costs will be released to the company that won the contract prior to the protest. That would be a rather dramatic change, and there's a lot there to be wary of, and we certainly will be watching it very closely. All right, so that was it for the SASC side on the amendments. The House side was active too, House members introducing amendments to the House version of the NDAA for fiscal year 2018, which, among other things, called for reports on cyber capability and readiness shortfalls, calling on the Army, within 180 days of the bill's enactment, to provide a report to Congress that outlines the Army's combat training center's current resident cyber capabilities and related training programs. Basically, giddy up, we're serious, let's focus on this, was the strong message. Continuing the cybersecurity theme, the House changes would update DOD's cybersecurity strategy with regard to use of offensive cyber capabilities and require the President to develop a strategy for the offensive use of cyber capabilities to provide technical assistance to North Atlantic Treaty Organization members. And the House also adopted an amendment to keep the following three provisions of the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA, from expiring: data center consolidation, transparency and risk management for major IT systems using an IT dashboard, and IT portfolio, program, and research reviews using PortfolioStat. Again, we'll be watching these developments closely in the coming weeks, trying to determine what will survive into a final version of the legislation, and then issuing advisories, guidance, and alerts to help you through digesting the new material when it hits. And while we're on the topic of budgets, OMB published a memo providing fiscal year 2019 budget guidance, emphasizing the need for executive branch reorganization. Specifically, the memo requests agencies to include in the reorg plans proposals and new programs in the following four categories: 1. Eliminate activities, 2. Restructure or merge, 3. Improve organizational efficiency and effectiveness, and 4. Workforce management. Those are the categories they want to hear a lot about. However, agencies are forbidden from using across-the-board cuts, cost shifts to other parts of the budget, and reclassifying discretionary spending to mandatory. The emphasis on, come on, we really want you to focus on reducing the size and scope of what you're doing. And all of this would be, unless otherwise directed, between now and then by OMB. DOD's Office of Inspector General also released a compendium of open IG recommendations to the DOD, noting that if the combined 58 recommendations were accepted, the IG believes that $33.6 billion could be saved. Obviously, the report is too long to summarize here. It's available on the IG's website, and notable recommendations included increasing cybersecurity and cyber capabilities, and developing full spectrum total force capabilities that includes a focus on acquisition and contract management. Bringing us home, GSA and the VA announced a memorandum of understanding on the effort to make it easier for federal agencies to find veteran-owned vendors on federal supply schedules. The effort will include a special icon designating membership in a verified vendor database. The purpose, in addition to assisting veterans, is also to help federal agencies better meet the rule of two and keep competition reserved for veteran-owned businesses. This has been our special edition of the Fastest 5 Minutes that went a little long, but hopefully you'll agree it's worth it given all the developments. Brought to you as always by Kroll and Mooring. If you have any questions about any of this, this is David Robbins. I can be reached at 202-624-2627, and Peter and I will be back in 2 weeks with a regularly scheduled edition. Have a great week.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll and Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.